Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Even though it's just the beginning of February, days like today make us realize that spring is just around the corner. And we all know what that means. When spring arrives, a young man's fancy turns to call day. Well, whether you're a student awaiting a vicarage assignment or a first call, or a professor looking back at your own first call, or maybe just a member of a family thinking about how call day will affect your future, it affects us all, doesn't it? We think about it. We count down the days, some with great precision, but it's a bit unsettling. From a February 6th perspective, call day has a lot of unknowns, like where will we go and what kind of ministry will it be? But there are a couple things we do know. Call day will be an extraordinary day. And we can also bet that call day will not be anything like Peter's call day. I think it's safe to say that Peter and his companions had no idea that it was call day. That day when Jesus came to teach by the lakeshore had been an ordinary day. We might even say it had been a bad day. Peter and his fishing companions had fished all night and hadn't caught a thing. Now, they were fishermen. This is what they did for a living. So there they are, washing their nets, getting them ready for the next night of fishing when Jesus shows up. And he gets into Peter's boat and he says, "Push out a little bit from the shore so that I might teach the people." And after he's done teaching, he says, "Put out to the deep water so we can do some fishing." Peter objects a little bit to this. He says, "Lord, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing." But he figures, since it's Jesus, the same Jesus who had healed his mother-in-law, he said, "Okay, we'll go out and we'll do some fishing." Peter had no idea. They let down the nets, and before you know it, they are reeling in innumerable fish. The nets are breaking. The one boat fills up. They call for another boat to come, and they fill it up, and they're both sinking. They can't believe it. They're astonished. They're stunned. They're amazed. They're confounded, and they're overwhelmed. It was a miracle. And Peter realizes that he's come face to face with God himself. "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." Holy God does not belong in the presence of sinful people. And yet, here's Jesus causing these fish to come into the boats. It's call day for Peter and his companions. Will April 25th be like that? Will Jesus miraculously appear in the chapel here in a boat? Will he call some people out from the crowd to let down the nets, and then will they start catching a bunch of fish? Will fish be flopping around all over the chancel while women and children run for the doors screaming and students and professors fall on their knees saying, "Lord, we are sinful people"? Probably not. Now, I imagine the call day will be much more orderly. Our names will be called, and we'll come forward and receive our assignment. And we'll shake the hands of the dignitaries that are assembled here at the chancel steps. And we'll go back to our seats. And we'll think about the enormity of what's just happened, if you haven't already been thinking about that. And we'll say to ourselves, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Stop being afraid." That was the message that the angel had for Mary when she found out she would bear the Son of God. That was the message the angel had for the shepherds when they were told that their Savior was born in Bethlehem. That's the message that Jesus has for Peter when he sees this big catch of fish, and it's the message that Jesus has for us today as we stand ready to go out and do his work in the kingdom. Stop being afraid. Your Savior has come. And so after they pulled the boats ashore, they left everything and they followed Jesus. And they would see more amazing things, like Jesus raising people from the dead and healing lifelong infirmities. Peter, James, and John would go up on that Mount of Transfiguration and see that glorious event. It was easy to follow Jesus until Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the teachers of the law plotted to kill Jesus. Oh, Peter declared, "Lord, I am ready to go to prison for you, even to death." And then a few moments later, he walks at a distance after Jesus is arrested. And centurions lead him off to Pilate. And a few moments later after that, he declares, "I don't know the man." It's easy to follow Jesus, isn't it? At least while the honeymoon lasts. And then a group of people decide that it's time for a building project. And someone else thinks that maybe your sermons are a little too long or a little too law-heavy. And the treasurer is concerned about expenses. And the worship committee thinks it's time to investigate some new worship styles. And these are probably the easy things. Meetings pile upon meetings. You don't see much of your family anymore. You begin to question why you're there. You question God. And you say, "Lord, I'm a sinful man, not a miracle worker. What do you want me to do?" Stop being afraid. Follow the miracle worker. That's what Peter and his companions did. They followed the miracle worker, and they found the Savior. Peter might not have made it to the cross that Good Friday evening, but he made it to the empty tomb. And it may have taken him a little bit longer to figure it out, but soon he would come to understand that Jesus came into the world and died for his sins, even the sin of turning his back on Jesus. And he came into the world and he died for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And that empty tomb is the proof of the victory that Jesus had over sin, death, and the devil. And for us, it's a promise of new life. That's a message worth telling. Peter would tell it, and Jesus calls us to tell that message as well. You see, the message of Jesus Christ rises above the partisan politics that infiltrates even our Lutheran congregations. And it rises above the infighting on church boards and the agendas of special interest groups. It's a message that rises above because it's a message that levels the playing field. We are all sinners, and we all deserve God's wrath, but Jesus Christ came into the world and died for our sins. The forgiveness we need has been provided by him, and so we follow Jesus. Peter's call day was indeed extraordinary. It's not often you see a great catch of fish. But what was truly extraordinary about that day was that Jesus called Peter, a self-proclaimed sinful man, to go into the world and do the work of his kingdom. April 25th and the call days that follow may be a little more orderly, but they'll be every bit as extraordinary. Because Jesus will once again call sinful people to go and do the work of his kingdom in places like St. Peter's and St. James and St. John's. And we will have the privilege of leading others as we together follow Jesus. We'll have the privilege of baptizing infants and adults into the faith. We'll have the privilege of distributing the Lord's very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith. And we'll have the privilege of going around this country and, yea, into churches around the world to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for our sins, who rose to new life for the hope that we have in new life, and who will come again to lead us to our final glory in heaven. That's right. Jesus leads us to the cross, and he leads us to the empty tomb, and he will come back to lead us to eternal, unimaginable joy. Now that's extraordinary. When Jesus calls, whether it's by a great catch of fish or just a simple piece of paper, we'll not fear. We'll follow our leader. And together with one voice looking to him, we will say, Jesus, still lead on. Amen.